Now, sustainability has become a key term in politics and everyday life and business as well. And it will also be to the fore as well at an event which takes place at Thomond Park in Limerick next week. It's called the Tourism Space Live. It's being organised by Tina O'Dwyer, founder of the Tourism Space. She's in the line while some of those involved in the event and supporting it. Niall O'Callaghan of Shannon Heritage and Kieran Considine are with us in studio. Kieran is the head of AIB, excuse me, in Clare, Limerick. And Kerry, good morning to you all. And thanks very much for joining us in the bonus morning. Tina, I'll start off with yourself. Just tell us about the event next week, first of all, who it's for and what you hope can be achieved next Thursday in Thomond Park.
Yeah, good morning, Gavin. Thanks for having us. The event is taking place, as you say, Thursday the 23rd. It's a national event and it's very much aimed or focused for tourism owners and business managers, so anybody owning or running a business in tourism and hospitality. It's kind of filling a space, a kind of a gap that I thought existed, where to focus conversation and support around the front line of working in tourism, so on the needs and, you know, challenges and opportunities for those running their business on a day-to-day basis. So it's for anybody who's in that space, what we hope to achieve. There's a number of things we'll achieve with it. We have a mix of speakers who will deliver. It's a blend of kind of inspiration, motivation, you know, big vision thinking type of material, as well as some speakers who are delivering really practical training and takeaways for people in the industry. And it's going to be a very significant networking event. There's, you know, there's going to be up to about 150 delegates from around the country. And that in itself lends itself to great networking and sharing of knowledge.
So, absolutely. Yeah, is it the second year that you've done it?
It's the second year that we've done it. It's the second year in Limerick in Thomond Park. So we had we ran it last year and it went really, really well. We got fantastic feedback from the delegates that were there. We were delighted with ourselves with how it ran. So we've kind of committed to making it an annual event on the tourism calendar in Ireland, based here in the Midwest.
TourismSpace.com has got all the details for those who are working in the industry, want to find out more and want to attend. Talk to me though, Tina, about the sustainability aspect. I note firstly, everybody who buys a ticket, or each ticket bought rather, will lead to the planting of a native species of tree. Is that reflective of a shift within the industry to be a little bit more eco-friendly?
Yeah, well, there's been, I guess, a shift in society in general towards that, you know, towards being more environmentally conscious. I think we're very much more aware of the carbon issue and, of course, the whole social sustainability side of things. And tourism is definitely an industry that's kind of in the spotlight because of mainly the travel involved in taking holidays and in business travel and anything like that. And so the visitor's mindset has changed. We have loads of research showing us that people are making decisions based on environmental factors now, and therefore there's kind of a push and a pull for the industry to really embrace this. And what we wanted to do at the event was to make it, in line with the rest of the event, very, very practical, and to kind of empower businesses who might be there to understand where to start, practical actions they can take, businesses, other businesses they could work with in that. The discussion can be very top line and very kind of overwhelming, really, the whole issue of sustainability. So we're really drilling down into practical actions that everybody could take to get started.
Okay, I want to bring in Kieran and Niall on that. I know, Kieran, to yourself, first of all, in AIB, it's a different sector that you're working in, but obviously you are working very closely with tours and businesses, amongst others. What do you make of that push towards sustainability? It's a big change in ethos, and it doesn't come without its financial challenges.
No, I suppose it's something that our CEO has set out as one of his key pillars for his next 3-year strategy. And, you know, I suppose he's outlined a couple of initiatives very early in his tenure. One of those being around the green mortgage, where our customers can avail of a 2.5% mortgage if their BER rating is between A1 and a B3. So there are some very practical steps that we're trying to make in that regard. We have a 5 billion fund to support the transition around the low carbon economy over the next 5 years as well. So in terms of those financial steps, we're there to work with our customers in that regard.
But, and do you see that as a business opportunity as well? You're here to make money.
I suppose, look, you have to look at it in both sense. It has to work for all parties. But ultimately, we recognise that, you know, there is going to be a huge transition to hopefully a greener, more sustainable environment. And that talks about sustainable communities as well. And we see our role as working with our customers in terms of education and support, as well as financial support, because there is an element how, you know, we can help our customers understand things like, you know, how we can support things things like lower energy economies, so how we can move the transition from what we have today to something that's more sustainable in terms of biofuels. But there is a cost that comes with all those things,
yeah.
So to be able to marry the two of those. But, you know, I think the sustainable community piece is really important because ultimately some of that comes down to education, Gavin, and working with our customers. So we have various sector teams who their sole focus is very much around that. And, you know, some of that will come up at the event next week with David McCarthy, who's our head of hotel and tourism. So he's going to speak to that as part of the overall offering at the event.
Niall O'Callaghan, to yourself, your Shannon Heritage Properties last year welcomed the guts of a million visitors who would have created their own big carbon footprint in doing that. Now, I'm not criticising, it's just a fact of life. But what responsibility do the likes of yourselves have to try and mitigate that in some form?
Yeah, I think similar to what Kieran mentioned in relation to AIB, fostering our environmental sustainability is one of the six strategic priorities of the Shannon Group. And we've made a lot of progress over the last year or two in relation to that. And we certainly intend on accelerating that in 2020. To give you some examples of that, across the group, across the commercial property business, the airport and Shannon Heritage, we're working closely with the likes of partners, ESB Smart Energy Services. So what does that mean on a practical level? We've replaced all our light bulbs in Bunratty, for example, with LED smart energy light bulbs, done something similar in the airport as well. In Bunratty, over the last year, we've began water harvesting. All our bathroom urinals are waterless. We've put in recycling bins across the park. And in 2020, we are aiming to remove all single-use plastics from a customer perspective. So there's a lot of initiatives from a customer visibility perspective that can be done and that we are actively doing across Shannon Group.
Do you feel like you have to do it? That if you didn't, you'd be criticised, basically?
Actually, not necessarily, to be honest. Albeit there is a lot of debate about that sustainability piece, we certainly haven't had any negative feedback in respect of not being taking actions. I think it's more the responsibility that we feel ourselves, certainly as a semi-state and certainly in Shannon Heritage as a company who welcomes, as you say, almost a million visitors a year, is something that we take a lot of pride in and our staff take a lot of pride in is our footprint. It's not necessarily external pressure. I think it's much more about us taking responsibility for our own actions and making sure that we're making or we're holding our own attractions to account to be sustainable into the future.
Okay.
Could I add on that?
Yes, Gina.
Just sorry to interrupt you.
No.
With the focus, you know, the true, I suppose, the wider meaning and true meaning of sustainability would take into account not only environmental sustainability, although that's really the key focus right now,
sure.
But also social sustainability and financial sustainability. And while we would say kind of in tourism, embracing sustainable tourism is to do less harm, but also to do more good. And it's definitely an industry that brings an awful lot of good in terms of employment, in terms of exchange of people, in terms of opening up the world to other people, and there's a lot to be proud of on that. And the financial sustainability piece, and I know you referred to it there with Kieran, is vitally important that we have strong, robust businesses that are able to sustain employment and, you know, give that kind of certainty and continuity, not just in rural communities, but right around the country.
Okay.
So we need to kind of keep an eye on all three at the same time, really.
Can I stay with you, Tina? And actually, as you mentioned, financial sustainability, it brings me on to another point that I wanted to ask you all about this morning. In a general sense, how is tourism going to fare, do you feel, in 2020? What are the early indicators say?
Yeah, it's 2019 was a challenging enough year for the industry after 7 or 8 really buoyant years. Although I think the industry held its own overall, and the end of the year came in quite well, it seems, for a lot of businesses. I think the big uncertainty, as ever, for the last number of years is Brexit and what will happen with that. And certainly the industry is under pressure from labour costs, you know, the VAT increase, insurance, and all of those other challenges. So I don't think anybody's expecting a terribly buoyant year. And, you know, if the industry holds its own and holds solid, that'll be a good story from
and
this
is
year.
That mainly because of the UK market? Is that the source of the troubles is the wrong term, but what I mean by that is that where you're seeing the biggest decline in visitors?
Well, it's interesting. The British visitor last year held its own. It didn't grow where other markets would have grown. So that's a positive sign, I guess. I think there's probably more certainty in the space right now. It knocks on, it makes Britain more attractive to other Eurozone countries from the currency point of view, and it makes Ireland slightly less attractive to the British visitor. So there's kind of two sides to that equation, and any uncertainty at all around, you know, crossing borders and all of that kind of stuff might deter the likes of the German or the French visitor or something like that. So there's a whole lot of complicating factors in that, and kind of keeping the communication out there about how Ireland is still easy to visit and how, you know, all our usual attributes to keep them out there loud and strong is really important.
What are you seeing so far now?
Yeah, I suppose the early warning indicators from certainly from the US market are very, very modest growth. So tour operators, from Thanksgiving up until today, which is a key booking period for tour operators, are suggesting 0 to +1 or +2% at best. It is early, and obviously there are a lot of macroeconomic factors that impact, particularly on the US market and their booking trends. But I suppose in this region, to Tina's point, you know, we are the second least reliant region in the country on UK visitors. The majority of our visitors here are North American. And thankfully, with the great connectivity we have to Shannon Airport, you know, we would be hopeful that we would see growth in 2020. And I think in fairness as well, when you look at the success of Shannon Airport over the last 3 or 4 months, where the North European market has grown significantly over the last couple of years to Ireland, and with the connectivity now with Paris, Barcelona, Vienna, we would be hopeful that that would also bring new visitors to the region.
How important is it for this region that the MAX aircraft issues are resolved? We know what happened last year, and Shannon was very public in what happened last year with the impact when the plane was grounded.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of factors that we would always be concerned about, and that would be obviously one of them. I think you can only control the controllables. So I suppose from a Shannon Heritage perspective, it's about converting the Wild Atlantic Way traffic that is on our doorstep into our attractions. And as I said, you know, that US connectivity is crucial in respect to bringing North American visitors to the West Coast. So look, we're optimistic about 2020. We're very, you know, we feel we've got a great product. And we've invested heavily in our people across the business, particularly in the sales and marketing space. Shannon Heritage alone, you know, this year we've won awards in relation to our digital marketing campaigns. So we're very optimistic that we can convert those visitors to our attractions.
And your own thoughts?
Yeah, I think the guys have spoke very eloquently, and I think it's important we don't lose sight of the domestic market as well, because it makes up about 45% of our total tourism delivery in the West. So to me, that's one where we need to be very mindful of in terms of how we continue to attract our own people to come West and to stay longer and hopefully spend more here. And again, next week, David McCarthy will speak to the importance of festivals and events and how we can learn from those in terms of spending trends. Where are people come from? How long they stay? What they spend their money on? And that helps retailers ultimately plan in terms of their own marketing to attract that Irish domestic market. So
you're right, it is a very important market, but as Tina alluded to, if, for example, sterling is that little bit weaker and you can go to the UK and have that short trip in London or one of the other cities and it's good value, then from a value perspective, that continues to remain a concern here in terms of what can we offer in terms of costs, obviously, you know.
Yeah, but I suppose what we have to focus in on is the visitor experience. And look, Niall, obviously, and the guys down in Bunratty have done a fantastic job around that, and we've got to be able to, I think, create the marketing platform to do that and to bring connectivity between some of those visitor attractions. So the event next week speaks to a lot of that. We'll have a lot of people who are in that sector to be able to tell their stories, and there are some fantastic startups there as well as some very established businesses. So I think we need to make sure we don't lose sight of that.
And do we also need to not lose sight that, you know, there's been a lot of years of growth and, you know, these things always level off. If it levels off after a lot of years ago, then a lot of people probably kind of take that, or would have taken it a few years ago as well.
Yeah, and I think election year in the US is traditionally a year where they don't tend to travel as much, you know, so we have to look at the opportunity that it presents in a domestic market and some of the other markets.
I think as well, just it's very, very well point well made by Kieran in relation to domestic visitors, and certainly in our portfolio, we're very dependent on domestic visits, and we've been very successful in building events in the off-season, which, you know, obviously has a big impact on our fixed costs. But I think that one of the challenges with domestic tourism is apathy and Netflix almost, you know, it's about there are things on your doorstep that you can go and do and enjoy across the Midwest. And it's about, you know, interacting with that. And sometimes we're our worst enemies, that we don't actually visit attractions closer to ourselves, and we'll think about the ones that are in other countries. So I think we'll talk more about that probably next week at the tourism space.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Tina. There's a lot more chat along this and plenty of other lines next week. There's a host of speakers, some mentioned, some not. thetourismspace.com, the best place for information and tickets, Tina?
Yeah, thetourismspace.com/live is the best place for tickets. Yeah, Niall is speaking at the event, and a whole host of other people from around the industry, various aspects of the industry, and I think there's going to be an awful lot of sharing. I'm grateful to Niall and the rest of them for giving their time to the event, and to AIB, who have really been wonderfully supportive in sponsoring the event and many other events around in the tourism and hospitality space, you know, at the really very supportive of the industry. But we have Catherine Fulvio speaking. We have Paula Canila, who's, you know, the Ireland's award-winning national travel writer. We have Katrina Considine from Moher Cottage here, and Claire's a startup story. Mary Fitzgerald from the Woodlands Hotel in Adair, which has 40 years vintage behind it, you know, coming from a small startup to what it is today. And then various experts in HR, finance, apprenticeships, all of that area. There's going to be an amazing amount of knowledge. Mm-hmm. All very practical, hands-on solutions, real problems with real people with real stories, I would say, rather than real problems, real people with real stories. So yeah, thetourismspace.com/live is the URL, and all the details are there.
Tina O'Dwyer is founder of The Tourism Space. You heard too from Niall Callaghan of Shannon Heritage, Kieran Considine of AIB. To you all, thanks very much for joining us in the program this morning.
Thank you,
Focus
Gavin.
Here in Clare FM.